You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey, it's Chris Spangle, host of We Are Libertarians, and I want to tell you about our friends at Lions of Liberty. It is a podcast very much like ours. It is a group of guys who are motivated to entertain you and inform you at the same time. They have a show that is released three times per week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Friday is Felony Friday. It's a special show about the broken criminal justice system. You can find Lions of Liberty on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and on lionsofliberty.com. Seriously, these guys are great. If you love our show, you're going to love Lions of Liberty. Very similar to what we do. They have conversation about current events. They interview people that are very interesting. While their show is very similar to like ours, they have a lot of different opinions than we do. So I think if you love We Are Libertarians, then you are going to love Lions of Liberty. So get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and at lionsofliberty.com. Welcome to We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. Across the table from me is a relaxed, refreshed Greg Lenz.
How are you, buddy?
You seem, every time I've seen you over the last couple months, you both of us, but especially you, seem very tense and urgent.
Urgent.
There's an urgency to
you. It's been a busy year. But I feel very refreshed and relaxed tonight. I am looking forward to this show. I know how triggered you are by the Donald, and so now that this is basically a week of celebrating the Donald and all the greatness that he's about to bestow on America again, I am fully enjoying this experience.
Yeah, so lots of Donald talk tonight, to be sure. Flashing her wedding ring to the Facebook Live crowd is the freshly married Hannah Drazich Cook.
Hello.
Did you hyphenate?
No, I did not.
Why not?
All or nothing.
That's a good attitude. See, that's a good woman. That's
she's
what
not hedging her bets.
No. Well, he's rich, so of course she's not.
Not that rich.
We'll talk about your marriage in a second. Also joining us is a podcast fan. We know nothing about her. Hannah's just bringing strangers into my house, but. She's an attractive female, so I allowed it. Jess, I don't know what your last name is.
Fleming.
Jess Fleming. Mm-hmm. All right. So you'll have 72 creep libertarians stalking your Facebook
page.
Don't
accept their friend
request. Yeah, you're going to get a flood.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
That's legit.
So
the creepertarian phenomenon.
Don't accept them.
Creepertarian phenomenon.
Yeah. Now you're
basement dwellers as far as the eye can see.
So, Hannah, how did this stranger end up in my apartment?
We were talking one day at work and she said something about wanting to be on a podcast or something. And I said, oh,
observe
a podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I have friends.
Yeah. I'll tell you what happened, Greg. I am on a podcast.
No, I didn't say that.
Found one. I am integral to the success of one.
I swear she said I have friends that have a podcast. She didn't put herself.
All right.
In the category with you guys.
See, you're hurting our ball busting, Jess. You're really
sorry.
You're bringing it down.
Gotta have her back.
Friends. Ugh. So Jess, you are a big podcast fan, so we invited you to come sit in and watch. Are you disappointed yet?
Not at all.
Really?
Yep.
All right, we're not disappointing.
Give it time.
Yeah.
It's like Novocaine. It takes a while to set in.
I mean, my parents are. Greg seemed proud of him. But
they're proud for both of us, Chris.
Right. I've adopted Greg's parents because mine, well, I just want someone to be proud of me.
Well, you quit the Republican Party. And so all of a sudden, they're voting for your guy now.
That is true. So my grandmother... when I became a libertarian in 2008 and I joined the party and I started working as a Republican, my grandmother is a diehard Republican, like Reagan volunteer, pictures of George Bush on the fridge. Yeah, you too. Really, Hannah? So it's our convention episode. So we needed a scumbag Republican. So we brought in Hannah because Chloe wasn't available. she didn't speak to me for 6 months. She was that disappointed that I would steal that many votes from Republicans and work for the Libertarian Party.
That many.
That many.
That many. All two? Those votes.
Those were her words. I remember them distinctly. And then finally Christmas broke her will, and she decided to speak to me that year. But since then, she has said she's voting for Gary Johnson. I had a dinner with the niece the other night, and the rest of my family was there. And because really, when you have like a 2-year-old niece, you go to see the 2-year-old niece and the newborn baby.
Well, it's smart. Like, it's like a preemptive act to make sure she doesn't get the wrong impression of you. You know, you earn her love early, and then she'll be raised in a way that she hates the rest of them for hating you.
Yeah. They said, "Oh, Uncle Thys is coming," because she can't say Chris yet. She goes, "Uncle Thys is coming." She goes, "Ooh, fun!" So I'm the fun uncle. So I taught her to say Donald Trump, and so she said Donald Fump. And my sister said, "No, that is an adult word. We don't say that." Diehard Republican. My brother's Republican. My dad's Republican. All of them said they're voting for Gary Johnson. So finally, there is value in the work that I have done for 10 years.
And now they're just appreciating it.
Well, they're not.
It took Trump.
Appreciation's a strong word. That's a strong word.
They're acknowledging the work you put in over the years.
They're acknowledging that this thing that is important to my life exists, which is a step in the right direction.
Yeah. It's acknowledgement.
Mittens is really, really going to town over here. So sorry if I'm getting distracted. Honey. Honey, you gotta go down. Okay. So, Jess is sitting in on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, have you ever heard We Are Libertarians before?
I have not.
Okay. That's a strike against you. All right. You get three. That's it. Three strikes and you're out.
Okay.
You're out means nothing. I mean, so there's really no risk.
So I'm safe.
It means you can come back next time.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Next time you're in town, I'll give you my number and you can, can stop by.
Take you out to a nice seafood dinner.
Right. Explain podcasting in depth to you.
Yes. Okay.
You have quite the stable of young female proteges that you tend to and cater along.
Have you ever wanted to do a podcast? I'm willing to mentor you.
You really need to bring your personal brand.
No, I like to observe rather than be active.
All right. Okay. So, all right.
I'm here to soak it in. I did not mean that in any way that could be
all
misconstrued.
All double entendres should not be.
Nobody took it the wrong way. Why? Nobody's took it the wrong way.
Because of the silence that fell after I said it.
It wasn't Chris's eyebrows going.
That too.
And that slight
was part
cocksure
of it
smirk.
As well.
I didn't take.
Now he's touching the ruler.
There is too much happening right now.
Now, so what podcast do you generally listen to?
Well, nothing too special. I mean, I love like true crime.
Well, that's because you already said you don't listen to We Are Libertarians.
Yeah,
so.
This American Life, Radiolab is my favorite. More Perfect. I liked Serial the first season, but I don't like the new one.
Yeah.
A bunch of other stuff. I kind of shuffle my podcast on random, so random things will come up. I like to listen to them when I run.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, are you political in any way?
To be honest, no.
Okay. Do you vote?
Yes.
Okay. Which way do you normally vote?
Democratic.
Democratic. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Have you ever voted for what is the name of this podcast again?
Don't fall in that trap.
Just say.
We are no. I'm not doing it.
Have you ever voted for the Libertarian Party?
I'm not answering that.
You can say no. It's fine. We're used to people saying no. We don't vote for you.
Yeah. You'd be stunned how often we hear that.
Yeah.
I have not, but I'm very open-minded to all parties. I don't really affiliate myself with just one.
Gotcha.
Put it that way.
Well, we will make you a libertarian by the end of this. I'm sure of it.
Good luck.
Oh, wow. All right. I like a challenge. So now,
she's got the burn.
Are you a Bernie supporter?
No.
Okay. Are you a Hillary supporter?
No.
Oh, she's ripe for the picking.
She's a typical millennial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No one that actually represents my interests.
I don't like any of you.
No, I just think they're all crazy.
None of you speak to me.
Well, they're politicians.
Right. They're all insane. They're all narcissists.
None of them speak to me.
We were just making, she has, she probably has never heard the word libertarian, so she pronounces it in an interesting way, and so...
I have heard the word. I just say some words very weird, and I can't help it. It's just the way they come out of my mouth.
Lib.
Lib.
Er.
Er.
Tarian.
Tarian.
Now say it again.
Libertarian.
Libertarian.
It's, see, you're embarrassed, but it's adorable. Stop. Okay. Keep it up. Now, Hannah, last time we saw you, you were getting married. You were...
I had just gotten married.
Yeah, we all went to the... Your eyes are a little bloodshot. Have you been smoking weed? I say that in jest because she only drinks wine because she's
I was drinking Angry Orchard earlier.
Oh, look at you. You do have that face.
Did you guys buy a house in Beach Grove?
Is that a hipster beer or white
Center
trash?
Oh, it's like Grove.
Ema, you have your Angry Orchard right next to your Keystone Ice.
Gross.
So you had just gotten married. We all went to the wedding. We all had a great time. Everybody but Bittner. And he does, and
got nothing on that one.
And he's not letting it go either. He still keeps bringing.
I hardly knew the man. I still don't. Well, I mean, I know him, but
and
not
right. And you still wouldn't invite him, right?
I mean, I would consider it since I was inviting all of you guys, but
it was a pity invite.
Don't. I hope
it was.
Not
a, we have one extra dinner that's unclaimed.
Don't worry, he's not listening.
Yeah.
Brett only listens to the episodes with Brett on it.
Correct.
Good.
So when we made initially made that joke, we did not understand the depth of Brett Bittner's love for Brett Bittner. Since all of us have found out with the Never Bittner T-shirt, we have a friend, Brett Bittner.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find a photo of him. Yeah, I do have a photo.
I feel like there was a picture. Him. On Facebook recently.
Yeah, that's,
he doesn't
that's
actually have horns, a Hitler mustache, or
say,
is missing a front tooth.
You can show people there. So
did
that's wow. Who drew the nipples? I didn't do that.
Oh my gosh! What is with this picture?
Well, it's so Brett. Brett made a little Brett Bittner T-shirt. So
does Brett listen?
No.
Okay.
Not unless
say.
Brett's on.
Okay.
Then he listens repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
He puts it on repeat.
Self-indulgent.
Yes. Yeah, you get it. Well, that's why we all do this.
Mm-hmm.
We're teaching Jess about podcasting today, and the most important thing to know about podcasting is that we do it because we like attention. So
they love it.
Oh, I love attention. It's so it's the best.
Okay.
Like, you know how like Hannah likes alcohol?
I don't even drink that much.
She likes alcohol like a healthy amount, like normal amount,
like half a bottle at lunch during a work day.
Oh my gosh, no.
No,
and the other half in the bathtub. Yeah.
With the Real Housewives of New Jersey playing.
No, I don't even go through a bottle of wine a week.
Wow, that's
yeah.
actually true, because I think only one time she had a beer on the show.
Yeah, I don't actually drink that
yeah,
much. I'm very much a social drinker, so if I'm with other people that are drinking, I will drink with them. Mm-hmm. But I don't just go home and be an alcoholic.
And that's because
I numb myself to the pains of the real world.
Might tonight, though.
Well, you knew what you were getting into. You're a long veteran, dating all the way back to 2013. Your first appearance, we invited.
Yep.
Let's have the Republican on. And what was the first thing you wanted to talk about?
Oh my God!
What was it?
It was the A word.
So at the end of
the systemic elimination of unborn children.
Okay.
Yeah. She at the end of the show, you'll get.
I have since changed my view.
Take a different route.
Really?
No.
So,
yeah.
So you become pro-choice?
No.
You've become pro-talking about abortion?
Yes.
I gotcha.
No. So this is my opinion. So I think abortion is way too easily accessible. I don't think there is enough counseling on what other options are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not against it. I'm just for more education.
Gotcha.
Before you just walk into an abortion clinic and say, I want to have an abortion.
I would agree with that. Now, when we met her, she was a very diehard Republican. She wore Mitt Romney t-shirts all the time.
I still love Mitt Romney.
I know.
I almost wore a Romney t-shirt tonight.
But she doesn't have the Romney shirt, Greg.
I do actually. I found it.
But you
I
did?
I still would not wear it.
Why not?
She's not
because
really
I'm a married woman now.
So that doesn't mean anything.
It does to my husband.
Oh, well. Yeah, and Todd is bigger than both of us.
Todd would beat you both up at once.
Do you think Todd could beat... I think Todd could beat me up. I don't know about Greg. Greg seems scrappy.
No, trust me. I know enough about him and his previous lives.
Yeah, but that's his previous life. He might have gone soft. Has he gone soft,
Hannah? Does my husband strike you as a soft man?
Yes, actually. Like
there was a picture of you two dancing at the wedding where
yeah.
One might say it was cuddly.
Yeah, it was very cuddly.
Because Chris came on to Todd.
I don't know.
True.
Todd was smiling in a way that I didn't see in any other picture at his wedding.
Okay, so Todd is a very nice person, but what? If you piss him off, you have released the dragon.
I'm just saying that Todd's first dance with me was beautiful. And
the picture is pretty epic.
I mean it was
Let's
pure
see
joy.
If we can find it.
I would like to see this picture. Yes.
So now are you married?
No.
All right. Okay.
She is dating somebody.
That's not why I'm asking you.
I'm letting you know.
She lives in Ohio. What am I going to do with that?
Nothing. I'm just saying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm not a long distance person. Good. So lucky you.
That's hard.
It is. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was just asking if she was married.
No, and I am not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I was going with that.
Actually, you seem to have a perfect beeline track until Hannah mentioned that she's dating someone.
She really did, yeah. She threw
all
me off.
All of a sudden, your line of questioning was a lot less relevant.
I was less sharp? Is that what you were saying?
All of a sudden, I guess your attention to this really dropped.
Yeah.
Really plummeted. Right now, you're over there playing Pokemon Go.
I'm just going to have to ask you to leave.
Okay. Thanks,
I hope
guys.
You've enjoyed the observation. Internship over.
Okay. Well, I'm hungry anyways. It's okay.
We do need an intern. I have so much dumb, stupid stuff.
I know this one girl who's looking.
Really?
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop.
Do you really?
No. She's being an asshole right now.
This person that we are speaking of is not.
You know who she's talking about?
I do know who she's talking
about. I'll fill you in later.
And she's being mean, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is, Hannah is mean, all right?
No.
Yes, she is. You mm-hmm. don't know her like I know her. I've known her for many years. She stalked me since 2012. You've stalked me. Just admit it.
This is the picture. Yeah. Maybe you just make her ornery.
He does. He brings out the worst in me.
Oh, goodness. That is love.
I know, right?
Show the camera.
Can the camera see?
Yeah, they can see it.
I don't
know
if you can
see it right here.
Yeah.
With the glare. But it's little.
That's what she said.
Total love, admiration,
yeah,
joy, everything.
Do you want that picture so you can share it on the We Are Libertarians webpage?
No.
Okay, good.
Are you kidding? Is it saved?
Yeah, it's
he
my
takes
background.
It down when you come over.
Right. I have it in a frame. I keep it next to the photo of my nieces.
Super creepy. It's okay. We all knew that Chris went that way.
So a few class announcements. I was recently on the Lions of Liberty podcast, as you heard before we started the show. The guys over at Lions of Liberty are sponsoring this episode. We're sponsoring some episodes over there just to cross-promote. If you like We Are Libertarians, which we all know you do, then you'll love Lions of Liberty. There's three podcasts other than We Are Libertarians that you ought to take and listen to. Lions of Liberty is one of them. They have a very similar format to how we do things here, and I think you'll like those guys. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad, I've really started to enjoy that podcast, and I don't think that a lot of people know about it, so you should check that out. And obviously, the Lava Flow podcast with Roger Paxton. He's such a nice boy. He puts a lot of work and effort into his podcast, unlike us, where we just sit down, show up, and bloviate. So I want to thank Lions of Liberty for sponsoring this episode, and please download those other shows. There really are, outside of the think tanks, there aren't a lot of independent libertarian podcasts that are worth your time. Us four are it. Jason Stapleton's great. Tom Woods, obviously. And that's kind of it. So I don't know about all of them, but I know that the four of us all have similar goals and similar standards of quality. So check out those other podcasts, please. Want to thank a few people. We got the best thing is opening your door and seeing presents.
It's like Christmas every day.
Our audience, they're like Santa Claus. I swear, it's the best. Jason Doolittle donated another compressor to us, which we needed to round some stuff out. they all donated through the Amazon wish list, which you can find at wearelibertarians.com. Mitchell's, I'm going to get it wrong. Sorry, Mitchell. Mitchell Zailke. See if you can do better. Mitchell, thank you so much. Go ahead, try it.
I think it's like Zilk or Zilky.
Yeah. So the funny part about these wish lists are the notes. So I love getting the notes. People are always talking about your headphones. They say you have the best headphones. They're huge. These headphones, with these headphones, you were going to start winning. I would say we were already winning, sir. But we just can't stop the winning, thanks to Joshua Sexton's donation of the headphones. Keep up. I think it was Josh that donated the headphones. There's no name attached to this. Keep up the good work, dear leader. I'm also sending the iPad mount. Love to all of all. Spangle Akbar, Joshua Sexton. The best still maintains Maya Axton's note to us when she sent us some headphones, and it just said, eat shit. So thank you, Maya. Little note about Maya. Maya, as anybody who's listened to the Creating Maya podcast or has watched on or has heard on this show or has watched her social media knows that Maya is, a self-acclaimed nutcase. Maya has struggled with a lot of stuff over the years and has made an effort over the last 6 months, especially to try and get rid of some old coping mechanisms, and really spun out over the last few months and scared a lot of the listeners, me personally, the people that love her. And I just want to say, please pray for Maya. Maya is going to treatment. She checked herself into a hospital and getting some very much deserved and needed help. And it's going to be a very long, hard road. And so if you're friends with Maya, then please drop her a note or send an email to me at spangle@wearelibertarians.com. I'll forward it to her. Because, you know, we all know Maya likes attention, and we need to give Maya some positive attention for a change and reward her for doing what is good for herself. So please keep her in your thoughts and prayers. Just wanted to give you that update. I get asked about her a lot from the audience because of Creating Maya, and there was an episode about a month ago that was really intense and scared a lot of you and me and everyone else in her life. And so she is doing okay. So good news on that front. Now, the Republicans. The last time I think...
Such disdain.
I know. The last time that I think Hannah was here, it was sometime 2 years ago. It was 2014, late in 2014.
Has it been that long?
I think that's the last time we had you sit in on an episode, and it's because we talked about 2016. And it was early 2014 at some point. And the
photo shoot. Episodes.
Yeah, but we just did the photo shoot.
That doesn't count. That's that to me was like a throwaway episode.
I know. Hey, I know you only had me in that photo shoot because I was a female and you needed desperate for females.
Yeah. Had Jess been here, we would have had her in it too. So yeah. We talked about 2016, and back then we were talking about Scott Walker, Rand Paul. Mm. Your favorite, Marco Rubio. We were talking about all the Republican favorites. Now, you worked on the Romney campaign. Like, you actually worked for the campaign, right?
Yeah, well, technically for the New Hampshire GOP, but they were paying for the Romney campaign.
Right. Can you believe what is happening this week?
I want to cry.
All right. Why?
It just makes me really sad. Because I just feel like I feel like our party is really divided. Mm-hmm. There's the establishment, and I was watching the votes yesterday for the convention, and like they were trying, some people, and I know this was kind of going on throughout the entire thing, but people tried to vote differently than how they were supposed to.
There's a little bit of poetic justice that the establishment is the outsiders of their own convention.
That is very poetic justice.
And they're getting shut out because of rules that they passed in 2008, 2012 to keep Ron Paul insurgents out.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That feels so good.
That does make me laugh a little bit. But it's just... I feel like the party's divided in that there's definitely the establishment, but Donald Trump was definitely elected in the primaries by the blue collar voters.
Mm-hmm.
They're the people who wanted him. They're the people who truly saw that something is screwed up and we needed somebody to fix it. I don't think Donald Trump is the right person to fix it.
Right.
But I think that's what they did. It was kind of a coup almost within our party to overthrow the establishment, which is what the libertarians have been trying to do for a long time and
right.
did not succeed or have not succeeded. But so I feel like that happened. But now there's just so much disconnect. And if you watch the convention, like the people there are the true establishment Republicans. They're super unhappy. I was watching people like try to get excited about Donald Trump being the nominee, and it was really fake and obviously fake. So there's just a lot of division, and it makes me sad.
I love it. Greg?
anytime a party is in the midst of
death.
Well, I don't know. I doubt it dies. But I think it definitely will reform, and it'll have a rebirth. It doesn't know what its rebirth is yet. This is just the final act of a party desperately trying to be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they weren't going to win nominating a Jeb Bush or nominating a Scott Walker or nominating
Marco
anyone
Rubio.
Else, any of them. They weren't going to win. But they turned to a populist, non-ideological, non-philosophically driven reality TV star. Who knows how to sell, he knows how to message, and he knows how to create a shitstorm.
He knows how to manipulate the media.
In a way no one else in America does.
Ever has or ever will.
He gets them perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, and even to the point where, like with Melania's, I think it's tough to call that complete plagiarism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because to me, the standards I've learned of plagiarism, that doesn't fit it, but...
Are you high? Like the ghostwriter who's written a lot of his books is the one that wrote it. I forget what her name, Mary Matlin. I forget what her name was, but she came out today and she said, I was talking to Melania on the phone. She said she liked that speech. She read off a few quotes. I wrote those down. I didn't do my due diligence back and go and check that speech to make sure that I wasn't just ripping her off. And I put the speech in. I mean, it's the intent, if you're looking at the intent, it was to rip off the same themes as what Michelle talked about. And now, it came from a place where it's like, I like what she said, I agree with these sentiments,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you could spin it that, oh, there's common ground there. But it totally was plagiarized.
I mean, but then, you know, Michelle's is plagiarized from Hillary.
Is it?
Todd said, yeah. Todd made a very valid point. He's like, they all say the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's all you know, platitudes.
Yeah.
Jess, mm-hmm. you feel very strongly. I saw it in your face. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, can we please talk about Chris Christie?
Not yet.
Okay.
But we will.
All right.
So.
His son is really cute.
Is he?
Yeah. I saw him last night in the New Jersey delegation and he was.
Mm-hmm.
What just happened
cute.
To our podcast?
Sorry. Sorry.
You're allowed. I called Jess cute. You can have one. So the ladies, can call Chris Christie cute.
We go off.
No, not Chris Christie. His son.
Oh, I think Chris Christie's a very handsome man.
No. Also, Donald Trump Jr. is kind of cute too. So he's better than his dad.
So, Melania, right? That's fine. Melania, she's really cute, right?
Does she do it for you?
Sexist, isn't it? You're being sexist,
I mean,
Hannah.
She is, so it's okay.
I'll admit it. I'm not into her.
No?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
I just don't. She looks like a fox. Like, when I look at her, she looks like...
Like the animal, not like she's
yes.
foxy.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
got the Taylor Swift's, like, eyes. Like, they're, like, up Ugh. High up here and then go down, slope down in the middle like a fox.
Right, there's a downward slope.
Yeah.
So, I'm not into...
I don't like T-Swift.
Yeah. Me neither.
No. I like regular girls.
He's like an Alison Brie type.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alison
Jewish.
Brie.
I do like a woman of the tribe.
Desperately trying to infiltrate the tribe.
Yes. Have you seen Mad Men?
Yes.
She is
kind
Pete,
like a few episodes.
Pete's wife.
Or Community.
Yeah.
She's Annie.
She's
a nerdy brunette. Unsure of herself.
Okay.
Naive.
I feel like I'm picturing
Spangle loves. Able to be Spangle loves all of that.
Yeah.
That's his type.
Okay.
Yeah. I like brunettes.
So not
who are nerdy and manipulative. And what else did you say?
Easily manipulated.
No. I don't like easily manipulated.
No, I'm just kidding.
Trust me. I'm the one that usually is on the other end of that.
I do manipulate.
I'm the one that is. It falls for it every time. Right, Hannah?
I'm fully aware of this.
Yeah. Like,
not because I'm a brunette, but because I've watched it
like,
happen many times.
Wow, she really likes me for me.
And Greg and I are sitting back like, no, stop. Anyway.
Leave the gypsies alone.
Please.
Listen,
no
I'm
more.
Trying. I'm trying, guys. I'm trying not to be that way anymore. I'm a different man now.
Trying isn't good enough.
Yeah, I know.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Shut up, Hannah. I'm sorry you grew up with a nice home family and
dropping knowledge.
Yeah. So I'm not a mess. I promise.
The only way you learn is through experience.
That's exactly right. I'm very experienced at picking the wrong women.
I am the same way. We used to be the same way with men. So
yeah.
I
feel
you.
High five.
Yes.
Yeah. So. As Elizabeth says on the Facebook, there's a 20% rule. So she didn't violate the 20% rule of plagiarism. So I guess by the letter of the law, it really, to me, does not matter because her speech was fluff. Nobody is giving a crap anyways. You made the point that maybe it was intentional to get more attention, and I kind of buy into that.
Yeah.
You know, where
that plays right into Donald Trump manipulates media.
Yeah. Like the Rick rolling in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Rick
then his, and it turned out to be false, but his, he put out a tweet, and then someone else took out and adjusted President Obama's tweet after Michelle gave her speech. And I thought, if this is real and you don't vote for him, you should join ISIS because it is the greatest troll I've ever seen in my life. It was amazing.
I feel like Donald Trump is the highest level troll possible.
Of all time.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Obama was running and he demanded his birth certificate?
Yes. Yeah.
And if not, he was going to donate like X amount of money to a charity.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like he turned the situation into Gotham City, and I feel like that's what our world is going to turn into.
Yeah.
Most likely, yes.
November.
Yes.
I agree.
Like the Wizard of Oz hat is going to be Donald Trump's face when he makes a speech at the State of the Union.
Now, are you a Donald Trump fan?
No.
Now, being a Democratic person, probably not, right?
I'm not a fan of Hillary either, though.
Right.
So, well, no. I don't think you could go across this entire country and say, Hillary, she does it for me.
Right.
She speaks to me in a way that a shiver runs down my leg.
Donald Trump scares me, but the scary part is he's so entertaining, and that's the problem. Like, we live in a country where people vote for American Idol more than they vote for the president, so Donald Trump is doing exactly what he knew was going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So who are you voting for?
I have no idea yet. That is something that I'm still rolling over in my head.
We'll leave you with a libertarian package.
Okay.
And the Gary Johnson is your man.
All right.
So, Greg, what has been your impression of the convention so far this week?
I actually think it's been done. Like, honestly, you couldn't do it. There's no such thing as trying to do a regular GOP convention with Donald Trump.
There isn't.
No.
Like, one, it would have been so bad and so poorly watched, and it would have sunk his campaign. So Donald Trump has to do what Donald Trump does. It has to be bigger, greater, over the top, incendiary, alienating, everything you need it to be, controversial. I mean, every single thing you need it to be, it has been thus far. And I love it because it's great TV.
Yeah.
And if it had been Jeb Bush, if it had been Marco Rubio, if it had been Paul Ryan, any of those guys, it would have been boring as hell. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have moved the needle. And we would have all sat here and just been like, well, there's a sense of inevitability about mm-hmm. Hillary. Well,
right.
Even our CEO was in town, and he and I were talking the other day. He's like, I just turned on the Republican convention just to watch a couple minutes of it. And he's like, I couldn't stop watching.
Exactly.
He's like, it was a train wreck happening in front of me.
It is like watching cringe over and over. I mean, Scott Baio.
I know.
Scott Baio.
The Duck Dynasty guy.
I know. Bill what
Robertson,
was with that?
All his children, Tiffany Trump, who's the one they try to like shove in the corner because she's an idiot. She gets time at the Republican convention while John Kasich won't even attend.
Right.
And it's ultimately the greatest thing in history. I mean, he's having his own family members go out and vouch for him like they're going to say anything.
Ron Paul can't even get a text back.
I know. But he loves the Ronimal.
But if you gave him Trump blow back in the 1980s, then you got Anthony Sabato Jr. Like, who Who is that? I have no idea who that is.
I mean, I love every bit of it because it's the most. This is going to be the most fun we will ever have in our adult lives watching a campaign season, because you have the two most hated, arguably, people in all of America, especially in media. Mm-hmm. One of them can't run a regular campaign. Like, he can't go out and then issue sound bites on why Hillary's stances are wrong.
That's why he has Mike Pence.
So he's going to go out and talk about how tired and frumpy she looks. Like, who picks a pantsuit like that?
I know.
Like,
he says puke beige.
Like, he is going to just crucify her in a way she won't know how to
respond. The scariest thing about Donald Trump is that he says everything that everybody else is thinking.
Yeah.
Right. He just, like, throws it out there. And I know. Like, I kind of appreciate that, but maybe dial it back.
The problem is, though, like, have you seen her attack ads? Like, her newest one where
with the children.
Mm-hmm. There isn't some big, like, group of people to say, well, I was considering Trump, and now I'm going to consider Hillary.
To make the mistake now.
That there's this great, this huge group of of moderates that can be swayed,
right,
is the biggest strategic mistake you could make. Because the reality is, she has to get out the Bernie enthusiasm, and she has to get out the Democrats. This is a turnout election for your bases. He picked Mike Pence, which is like giving the rawest of rare steaks to the fundamental Christian wing of the Republican Party. They'll turn out for Mike Pence because he speaks that to them.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's good for America. Doesn't mean it's good for the party. Doesn't mean anything like that. But he is Sarah Palin without the speech impediment.
Can we talk about that selection for a minute?
In a minute. Let's finish. Okay. Keep rolling.
I love it because I was talking with you last night. You were just amazed. Like, you couldn't get over what was going on and what was before your eyes. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I think that they should have had none of these people, and they should have let Donald Trump do 3 hours alone on stage the entire week.
Yeah.
They should have had Trump go up there each night, like you
every
came
night.
Up with, was a different foreign policy.
Foreign policy, first night. Second night, domestic policy. Third night, why Hillary Clinton's fat. Fourth night, why is Donald Trump so awesome?
Yeah.
Fifth night, more of why Donald Trump is so awesome.
Here, right. The life and times of Donald Trump.
Oh,
him
gosh.
Coming out on an elephant, riding an elephant with like a Pope's crown. It would be the greatest television in history. Five nights of 3 hours of Donald Trump, and it would break every rating.
A Ronald Reagan impersonator riding out on a horse, taking off the crowned cowboy hat, placing it on the head of Donald Trump.
Make America Great Again, bejeweled on there.
Michael Reagan just weeping, my father's legacy will be carried on.
We will all be great again.
Yeah. But think about what happened in the beginning of this. Macy stopped carrying some of his stuff.
Ties. And suits.
NBC fired him completely.
They dropped the Apprentice.
And I thought when that was going on, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going to get nowhere in this.
Right.
Like, and now look, he's the Republican nominee.
And by an enormous margin.
I know.
Everyone kept saying, oh, Rubio's got momentum. Ted Cruz has momentum. And you're like, he finished third.
Yes.
He finished third in his home. He got 2% in his home state, and they spent $35 million against Donald Trump. How is he? Where does that justify momentum? I mean, I tried to warn Spangle. I tried to warn Creighton. I tried to warn everybody. I go, I'm telling you, he speaks to people in ways, in a raw and visceral way, they don't want to admit, and they won't talk about at dinner parties, but they just love.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about him that feels so good, because no matter what the angry left says or the intellectual left says, like on MSNBC and on NBC, he is the nightmare of every coffee or tea sipping liberal in a coffee shop writing their blog post on Daily Kos or Mother Jones. And he just laughs in their face when they call him a racist, bigoted homophobe. He just laughs right at him and says, you have to go back.
Yeah.
And it feels so good.
Yeah.
Because he's bulletproof, because he has zero desire to cater to people that you're told over and over you have to seek the approval of. It's a vindication of sorts.
I'm at a place of acceptance. I'm almost to the Bobby Knight rule where just to sit back and enjoy it. Like, lay back and enjoy it, because it's happening.
It's inevitable.
Like, you might as well just, if the whole country's going to burn down, we might as well have some fun while we're doing it,
For those that may not get that reference, Bobby Knight was talking to Connie Chung.
We don't need to clarify.
You do, because the issue of rape was brought up. Bobby Knight, in true Bobby Knight fashion, says, well, if it's inevitable, you might as well lay back and enjoy it. And to watch the horrified look on Connie Chung's face, is that That actually was probably the first sign Donald Trump was going to be the 2016 nominee.
Donald Trump has Bobby Knight speaking for him, helped him win Indiana. Coaches love him. He's got all the best coaches. He's got Gene. He's got Lou Holtz, who got apparently a Crown Royal. Donald Trump, and I've said this before, everybody knows how much I dislike Donald Trump. I talked about how much I dislike Donald Trump on the Lions of Liberty episode that I'm on. That was released on July 20th. Go check that out, July 20th, 2016. Talked about it with Rob on...
Rob Kendall.
Rob loves Donald Trump.
Flopping Rob Kendall. Flip-flopping, doesn't know which way he's going, but all he knows is that he likes himself a whole lot. But... there is something about Trump. It's great TV. Michael Shea, the Weekend Update guy, was here in town and did a great comedy show. If he comes and does stand up in your town, go see him. And he was just talking about, like, I like Donald Trump. Like, I would hang out with Donald Trump. I don't want to hang out with Barack Obama. He seems like he'd give me a lecture. Donald Trump seems like he'd give me blow and three hookers. Like, he seems like a total disaster. And you never know. What if he ends up being a great president? Like, fuck, that is a beautiful wall. and it's so true. It's like, I've been so wrong about Donald Trump at every single point. What if he does become president and does end up becoming great? What if he does make America great again?
So my husband is a Donald Trump fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he has
some valid... We call those great Americans.
He has some valid points about, how he kind of does, in a sense, resemble Reagan. Nobody wanted Reagan to be elected. Everybody thought he was just an actor who didn't know what he was doing. And he turned out to be a decent conservative president who got a lot of stuff done and scared the crap out of a lot of people.
The problem is...
I just don't know.
The problem is that Reagan seemed like he was pretty mentally stable and was a very intellectual, thoughtful person. Like, if you go back and you listen, when in his wilderness years, when he lost to Ford in 76, and then before the convention in the 80s, he did a radio program, a radio commentary. And he used to sit down with a legal pad and write out exactly two pages of what he was going to say. And you go back and listen to those. You can find it on Audible. Get the audiobook, Reagan in His Own Words, for free by visiting wearelibertarians.com and joining with the link. We'll give it to you for free. And you listen to Ronald Reagan, and you hear very clear philosophy. The guy knew what he was talking about. I hear in Donald Trump is a sociopathic narcissist who introduces his running mate and spends 20 minutes talking about how great he is and then awkwardly leaves his running mate to introduce himself. You know, every time he'd get 5 seconds on to Mike Pence, he would then veer back to the subject at hand, which was Donald Trump. Like, that's not who Reagan was. Reagan was a great communicator who in his bones understood... conservatism, libertarianism, you know, he may not have agreed with us, but he is the one who famously said that at the heart of conservatism is libertarianism.
Well, I mean, the reality is it's not like he could have implemented libertarian reform in that world anyway. The world was less ready for libertarianism in 1980 than it is today.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. You
know? And especially the world was a lot less, the American electorate was a lot less divided and polarized.
Right.
You know, we live in a world today where, you know, Blue Dog Democrats aren't, you know, people you seek, bipartisanship with. They're the enemy, and they need to be ousted, and the RNC needs to commit a bunch of funds and demonize them in order to get them out of their elected seat.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like where, if you know, like a guy like Jim Webb, we would target now, whereas Jim Webb, a guy that was Reagan's undersecretary of the Navy, would be someone you'd say, oh, we can work a lot on military spending reform or, you know, just a multitude of areas that there just isn't an overlap really anymore.
Yeah.
And that's why libertarianism, I mean, that makes libertarianism even harder.
But Gary Johnson's doing really well in the polls.
Yeah.
So. Gary is. So there was actually today I saw The Hill, which if you're into politics, then you need to, I'm going to the We Are Libertarians Facebook page to grab this article, and I'm distracted by an UpRocks headline that says, John Gosselin is apparently doing a bang-up job working at TGI Fridays.
Oh,
John and Kate plus 8. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your face lit up the second
I heard that name in forever.
Yeah. This is The Hill, Roll Call, National Journal, Politico. Those are the major political newspapers. So if you're into politics, check those out. And by the way, Creighton Harrington, shout out to Creighton. He built two great new sites for us, which you can find at WeAreLibertarians.com. WeAreLibertarians.com/reader and /Liberty Podcast. You can get the link at the front page. Check out the reader that Creighton built. He needed to build a website, so I had him build two. And you can get all the headlines and from libertarian sites and the sites that we personally think you should read, like The Hill. So, Gary Johnson, the headline from The Hill poll, Libertarian Johnson beating Trump, Clinton among active troops. Military troops favor Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson for president over Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, according to a new survey. Johnson garnered 38.7% of the active duty vote versus 30.9% for Trump and 14.1% for Hillary, according to the survey, which was conducted via the popular military personality Doctrine Man. Although the survey was not a scientific poll with a margin of error, it provides a snapshot of the preferences of about 3,500 active duty reservists, retired and former members of the military and their families, 95.7% of which were registered voters. So Gary Johnson, obviously the choice. Then they go on to, despite the headline and the fact that Gary Johnson won, they spent the rest of the time talking about Hillary and Trump and gave no reason why Gary Johnson was. And in a new CNN poll, Gary Johnson was at 13%, 15% to be included in the debates. So he is only 2 points away. So that is, that's great. So he's at 13%, Jill Stein at 5.
What did he end up total in 2012?
Just under a million.
Yeah.
And just under 1% of the popular vote.
Okay. 1% of the popular vote. But he was polling, the highest poll in 2012 was around...
4?
No, he was polling as high as 8 consistently. There was one poll that was done that was not terribly accurate where he was at 10%. But the polling was consistently between 5 and 8%. And he was never included in polling by PPP, Rasmussen, CNN... You know, these credible people that are starting to add him to polls. And when you're added to polls like that, it's great exposure. So
it makes name ID that much easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's the struggle is who, you know, to the non-politically engaged person. It's Gary Johnson. I don't even know who that is.
I've talked to people and asked them who they were voting for. And they're like, well, not Hillary or Trump. And I'm just like, so Gary Johnson. And they're like, who? And I'm like, the Libertarian. And they go, yep. I'm voting for him. Like,
yeah, I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of people who are going in. They're not going to know who or what they're going to vote for president, like our friend Jess here. Mm-hmm. They're going to go, well, I know I don't like these two bags of crap. And then they walk in and they look and they see there's a third option. They're going to just hit that person without knowing who or what they stand for.
I wish we could put resumes in there.
Yeah.
Well, 2-term nice. Republican governor, former first lady and secretary of state and the star of The Apprentice.
Yeah. Yeah.
The man who wants to make America great again.
Yes.
So enough about... So this kind of ties into Trump. Let's talk about the VP pick a little bit.
I feel like this is going to go even worse.
This is going to go great.
I've never been in a room with so many people that despise Mike Trump. Mike Pence much.
You like Mike Pence because you've never spent time around him.
I like Mike Pence.
No, him.
No, I'm.
Oh.
I appreciate him for what he is. I don't hate him because of what he's ever done to me.
Right. I he's never done anything to me. He just has the eyes of a dead fish.
Well, and not even that. Like, he looks over you. If you're talking to him, if you're not important,
that wasn't
he looks
my experience.
Over you.
Yeah.
He gave me the evil eye for a meme I
or
made
of
a Henders County
evil
GOP
eye.
Dinner.
Typically, he looks over you unless you make a meme.
Yeah, and then he doesn't like
unless
that.
Unless you make a meme.
So
unless you make him a brony.
Which is a great meme that should be reposted.
So this kind of ties in. This is, again, from The Hill, who's killing it today. I posted on our Facebook page. Report, Trump camp offered to make Kasich most powerful vice president in history by Jesse Hellman. Donald Trump's campaign reached out to Ohio Governor John Kasich in May with an offer to make him the quote-unquote most powerful vice president in history, the New York Times reported Tuesday. Donald Trump's oldest son, Donald Trump Jr., reached out to Kasich, to a Kasich advisor, after the Ohio governor ended his own Republican presidential campaign, promising that if he accepted the vice presidency, Kasich, now this is important, listen people, Kasich would be in charge of domestic and foreign policy. The advisor asked, what Trump would be in charge of? The report said that Donald Trump Jr. responded, making America great again.
First of all, why is his son doing that? Is he, does he have like a special title with his
The children basically, like, so Eric, Donald Jr. and Ivanka are the top, like, they're the top advisors on the team other than Paul Manafort, which you would be stunned. It's almost been universal acclaim in wishing they were running. I mean, there were, it was actually put up that they wanted Ivanka to be the VP pick by the RNC, not even by Donald Trump.
That is
because they come off as so impressive and like easy to work with.
Yeah.
But it's the nature of the beast being, you know, the field they're in, because they do their dad. They run their dad's business. Donald doesn't, you know, he's the brand that's licensed out. He doesn't work on the day to day grind.
Right.
You know, but they work in a world where it's all roadblocks. And so they have to be agreeable and look for ways to manipulate their way in to get things done.
Okay. They're the ones that fix the mess that their dad made.
I never realized they were so closely like involved in all this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, they're the one, other than Paul Manafort, who was in charge of making sure the Republicans nominated him, even though he had all the delegates, and like brokering the peace deal between Rince Priebus and Paul Ryan and the RNC. They've handled the setup of the campaign, the media appearances where it's not him having to, you know, whenever they have to respond or someone has to respond to something awful he did, they send out like the firebrand female spokesperson that used to work for Ted Cruz. I forget her name. But whenever it's like, tell us about your dad, they trot out the kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
And everyone's like, God, I wish you were running.
Yeah. No.
I felt that way at the convention last night.
Right.
Donald Jr. spoke for the New York delegation. I was like, why aren't you running?
Yeah.
And they're all impressed. I mean, that you have to say, like, somehow, if you question whether he did anything right, he raised three awesome kids we've got to really experience.
Or at least he stayed far away from them so he didn't damage them.
Which is actually, you could say, is what our government and president needs. Someone who knows well enough to stay the hell away.
I'm incompetent at raising children.
Oh,
and so I may be incompetent at running this country, but if I win, I know that and I'll stay the hell away from it.
Well, he's not...
I doubt he would stay the hell away from anything.
He's not going to be president. He's not going to be running things. His vice president will be in charge of domestic and foreign policy.
Well, apparently that's what we've learned.
Mike Pence did not get the same deal as John Kasich.
I don't think so.
I think Mike Pence manipulated his way into that seat. Very, very much so.
Why do you think that? Because I don't think Mike Pence could manipulate a ham sandwich.
Well, or people manipulated it for him. But I just know, like, he broke...
I don't think his people could manipulate a ham sandwich.
Fair.
I mean, we talked about it on Rob's podcast. I mean, on Rob's show, which is airing right now on 98.9 in Brownsburg.
Don't go listen to it. We're better.
But, you know, Mike Pence's people, Mike Pence, the reason I think he was picked is that he's, you know, it was between Newton himself and Chris Christie.
And Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, and Christie doesn't offer any kind of balance. He's very much similar. Newt was going to go off and say something crazy like he already has this past week.
He's Dick Cheney. Like, yes. That would have been a Dick Cheney type pick.
Yeah.
Comprehensive knowledge, but a condescending know-it-all.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Newt.
Oh, and yeah. Newt, he's a smart Republican.
Newt is an
intellectual powerhouse. But Mike Pence is a guy who can stay on message. He's popular with evangelical Republicans.
Disciplined as hell.
He doesn't make a mistake. I watched him in 2012. I ran Rupert's campaign against him. Mike Pence does not make a mistake. Ever. Now his people, he picks people based on loyalty. He does not pick people based on skill like Mitch Daniels did. And so that's how it got leaked.
Mm-hmm.
So it got leaked from the Pence people in Indiana that he was the guy. So
yeah. Yeah, he does. I definitely think he doesn't pick his people well.
So
at all.
Well, you have a personal problem. So Greg, what do you think of the Mike Pence pick?
For me, I mean, it ties up everything he needs. He isn't trusted among the Republican establishment, so you get the former third highest ranking Republican in the House that spent last 10 years working with these people, getting to know them, raising money for them. And like it or not, among the Christian conservative wing, there are very, very few articulate, disciplined messengers. that know how to sort of tightrope walk. And Mike Pence is really good at that. And he speaks in a way he comes across as much more intelligent than he actually is. And he's a good, he's a great deliverer of speeches while Chris is over there taking selfies with his cat.
Kind of creepy.
Oh my,
my gosh. Can we please show that to everybody?
Yeah. There you go.
But
he doesn't actually care about you guys.
Hannah.
If he actually wants to win the election, he has to get the Tea Party Christian conservative wing to show up on election day, and they weren't going to for a guy that calls Second Corinthians 2. And then when he was asked if he's ever taken communion, he's like, oh yeah, I showed up and had some of the wine and crackers. Like, he doesn't pass the smell test. And mm-hmm. Mike Pence arguably passes that sniff test better than any other person he could have picked.
Yeah.
He also gets the executive experience, and he gets a guy that's been in the House, third ranking highest member, and a governor of a state.
And I will say this, for there's so much political rhetoric about how Mike Pence hates people and Mike Pence is an idiot and Mike Pence is this. While I don't think he's the brightest bulb in the shed, Mike Pence doesn't hate people. Mike Pence thinks that his positions genuinely will help people. Mike mm-hmm. Pence mm-hmm. is actually a genuinely nice person and I think a decent human being. I think he's incredibly politically ambitious. So if you don't like that sort of thing, then he's not your speed. But
politician.
But everything that I've ever heard about Mike Pence, from the people that know him, and after watching him for 15 years, he genuinely believes what he says. He's not out there cheating on his wife. He's not
that we know.
No, he takes a walk with her every morning at 5 o'clock.
No, they're.
How do you know that?
From his team.
Yeah, okay. Karen doesn't. Karen's not putting up with that. Karen is also
Karen.
Yeah, Karen is a great lady as well. Former elementary school teacher to my ex-wife. And so, you know, I've had conversations with both of them. He's just wrong. Like, he genuinely believes what he believes and he's not lying. So he has integrity. He's integrated into his behavior, his beliefs. I mean, he is a guy that walks the walk and talks the talk.
He's not going to be tapping his feet in a Florida restroom soliciting young men.
No. So he, but his policies, I think he just doesn't realize, for whatever reason, what his policies do to people, because I think most politicians don't.
That is very, that is definitely something that the far right and far left both do. Like, they have very strict mindsets of how everybody should be, and they can't see outside that box.
Precisely.
But that's sort of, I was talking about, that describes him, is that the people that Mike Pence draws in are people who demand the certainty of a way of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can't handle ambiguity. They can't handle outside criticism. And it's not because they're not aware of it. It's because should you make a valid point, it breaks the entire pillar and foundation of their personal set of beliefs mm-hmm. that would make life not worth living. You know, they mentally cannot handle the uncertainty of they're not going to spend the afterlife with Jesus at the pearly gates, you know, for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so to me, that's a sort of idea that spreads through to Mike, and it emanates off of his team, and it spreads throughout everyone that is willing to be a supporter of him, which is everything Donald Trump needs. Mm-hmm. And when I heard Pence's stump speech, it is well delivered. It comes off like a Baptist minister, but it's like soft and thoughtful. And he does deliver a good speech, and then it is about looking to our past for the answers for our future. And he talks about how what conservatism is what we used to believe when we were at our best. And then when he specifically poses the question to everyone in the audience, you know, we already know what the answers are, don't we, folks? And he does it in a way that even as someone sitting in the audience who disagrees with him, I'm like, damn it, this is going to be much harder to beat him now. Because mm-hmm. he really speaks to you in like a poignant, deep way. And you're like, yeah, God, I don't believe that. I know it doesn't work, but it sounded pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is I think he may have been being vetted for Trump then, because he's been preparing this for a while.
Somebody said that I think it might have been you that said he was really on fire.
Oh,
he has been really on fire. I think it was you.
He's been knocking it out over and over, and people are just like, he's not an orator. Like,
right.
That's never been his skill set. He's a really likable guy that'll shake a ton of hands. He doesn't give you a lot of time, and he doesn't let you in, but he's always very pleasant. and he doesn't do anything to make you hate him except his positions.
See, and the problem, but the problem with
and
Mike,
his eye contact,
right?
His eye contact. Oh.
Well, but here's the problem: is so some politicians, like Ron Paul, is able to connect. So in any public person's life, there is a private life, a private person, and a public person, and their public life. Mm-hmm. You know, Greg has his, you know, Greg and I have our characters that we play on the air. But Greg keeps his private life very private and his personal stuff. I have a problem keeping those two separate. But, you know, there is that private part of Ron Paul leaks over to his public life, and there is believability and genuineness. The same with Bernie Sanders. The same with Donald Trump. I think, like, Donald Trump doesn't realize that he's a very sick individual who needs desperate
he owns it.
Therapeutic intervention. Yeah, he's proud of it. You know, he's just genuinely Donald Trump. That is who he is. The problem that Mike Pence has, somebody's phone's going off. The problem that Mike Pence has is that his genuine personality doesn't ever come through in his public life. And so when you get into these situations where, like RFRA, for those of you who don't know Mike Pence, let's just give you a recap and then I'll end with RFRA and continue the point. Mike Pence is a guy who went to a small college, got his law degree, went on to be a small town lawyer, essentially, then did a radio talk show, and then ran for Congress as early as the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, he has been running for an office his entire adult life. There was an article that 15,000 people posted onto my timeline earlier this week about Mike Pence's run for Congress, where he paid for his mortgage and other stuff with campaign funds, which he's one of the reasons that it's illegal to not do that. But it was totally legal then. And he was a negative, dirty campaigner. And, you know, in the article and afterwards, he did a lot of mea culpas. And Mike Pence is not a dirty campaigner. John Gregg, the guy that he ran against,
way worse.
Or the guy that he ran against 4 years ago, is a very dirty campaigner. And really went after Mike Pence hard. And Mike Pence just got stuck like a bull. I mean, he didn't kick. You know, and his team would say, fight back. And
he turned the other cheek.
He literally would. He would not fight back. He is a guy who just... There are two types of people in this world. The people who will fight back and will try to tell you what the truth is. And then there are those people who just think, well, the truth will come out and it'll all shake out. And unfortunately, that Christian notion of turning the other cheek doesn't work in politics. You've got to be a fighter. And that's where what you see in Donald Trump is a guy who is very much the opposite of Mike Pence, in that Donald Trump will go after you and will sue you and will fight you. Where
and it won't be regular.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he'll
it isn't going to be that, you voted this way once and I'm going to run a media blitz on your stupid vote and try to brand you as believing this. It's, you know, I think it's possible that Hillary Clinton's a lesbian. You know,
right.
I mean, that's, he'll run an ad like that, or he'll,
which, let's admit it, we've all thought that.
But I mean, like that, he doesn't say that there are, you know, rules of engagement. He refuses to believe that. It's all about, he says it and people think it's, you know, just like a dumb platitude. But when he says that it's about winning, and it's all about winning, and America needs to win again, that's what he means, is that, yeah, win at all costs. Mm-hmm.
And so on the direct opposite of the emotionally healthy scale is Mike Pence, who I think is an emotionally stable and healthy person comparatively, for certain. He doesn't fight back. He never fought back against John Gregg. He just stayed on message, and he knew that that's what he needed to do to win that campaign. You know, his people never, ever gave, you know... Every other campaign that was a statewide campaign, because you have a lot of contact with each other because of the televised debates that we have, the libertarians are automatically included in statewide televised debates. The Democrats and Republicans are always very rude to you, and they won't talk to you. And if they do, then they're very dismissive. They're very just, you know, they're usually young people who have that attitude of you're stealing votes, or on the other side, like, you know, just Republicans want to convince you to join the Republican Party. Democrats just want to be mean to you. So, but, you know, Pence's people and Pence himself made an effort to stop by the green room, you know, say hi to Rupert, make sure that, you know, hey, how's everything going? And, you know, Rupert and Pence developed, I wouldn't say a friendship, but at least they were on speaking terms.
A working relationship. Or, yeah. You know.
You know, whereas it was not that way with the other campaign. And Mike Pence's campaign was the only group that had ever done that. Now, I will say Eric Holcomb, who ran for governor, the guy who's running for governor now that Mike Pence is out, and Mitch Daniels, his boss, who used to hand out copies of what it means to be a libertarian by Charles Murray. Is that the name of the book?
Yep.
You know, they would invite us to come and speak with them about policy points that libertarians cared about. You know, Mike Pence adopted one of Rupert's campaign platforms and enacted it.
Yeah, that transition and focus towards vocational training outside of higher education for college grads.
But as governor, Mike Pence largely has been a complete failure, and it's, you know, he is, you know, claims that he's lowered taxes every year, but you really, like, get $10 back a year on taxes. It was all a political ploy. There hasn't been any overarching vision for making massive changes, and he's picked people that he surrounded himself. You know, if you compare Mitch Daniels and Mike Pence, Mitch put a guy named Mickey Maurer, who was a huge Democratic fundraiser, rich Democrat, made him Secretary of Commerce, and he took a lot of crap from Republican insiders on that, and he said, I'm hiring the best people for the state of Indiana because that's what they deserve. And if you look at the Pence era, it has largely been people who are white evangelical Christian males that have been hired for positions, and if they're female, they're even more evangelical than the males. So there hasn't been a diversity of thought. There hasn't been a diversity of education. There hasn't been any diversity at all. And I think that's why it has largely cost him. Mike Pence, you know, in 2012, it was always, are you running for governor, from the media? And he would say, no, of course not. Mike Pence is, the more you watch him, he's all about platitudes. More platitudes than any politician, to the point that we joked that he had Hollywood script writers writing everything that he did, because everything that he did was so hokey out of a movie, you know, standing on his big red truck next to a silo talking about how Hoosiers are the greatest in the land. And
it was a Mayberry campaign.
It was such a Mayberry campaign. And maybe that's his true vision of what he thinks that politics is truly about, but it's very hokey. It's a very, you know, Reagan-esque America that just doesn't exist anymore. It fits within Donald Trump's vision of America perfectly. It's very white. It's Mayberry. It's, you know, we can get back to Mayberry, you know, where the policeman didn't need to carry a gun. Unfortunately, there are no black people in Mayberry, and I'm saying the Andy Griffith Show is my favorite show of all time, but...
Well, there's a reason why, because you're a racist.
It's true. It's true. I'm not a racist. I let Hannah in my house.
Hannah's white, I think.
Former Klansman, though. So, anyways, moving on.
I don't even know what that...
I'm joking.
I know what it means, but no.
I apologize. Hannah has never been a part of the Klan.
No, in fact...
She doesn't even like Greg's Hitler memes.
No, actually, I hate Greg's Hitler memes. I hate them.
Okay.
Just saying.
I can't inspire everybody.
Don't tag me in them.
I don't tag you in them.
So,
I know, because I got mad at you before about it. Okay, we're good. We're good.
So Mike Pence he's a hokey politician who is, you know, he is above his pay grade. That is for sure. Governor was above his pay grade. And, you know, in 2012, it was about running for president. That's what it was for. We all knew it. The media asked him about it. He would deny it with platitudes and talk about how great Indiana and stick to message.
Even though he had internal polling and a small team put together in Iowa.
Right. So by the end of his first year, going into the second, his chief of staff, Bill Smith, who is the former head of the Indiana Family Institute, you can look those guys up. Jeff Cardwell also was his main advisor, now the Indiana Republican GOP head, which is hand-selected by the governors. He's a great, great guys. nice individuals, but hardcore Christian conservative, head of the, you know, Indiana Family Institute, Advance America types. And, you know, Mike Pence, in his first year, I'll get to refer in a second, but yeah, in the second year, Bill Smith dropped out and started a consulting firm. Polling started showing up in Iowa for Mike Pence. Mike Pence started speaking in Iowa, started speaking in New Hampshire, and it was clear that he was going to run for president. Now, in that first session, now, you know, the first State of the State address that Mitch Daniels ever did in 2008, he stood there and said that we have a state government that does not work, and it was invented in the era of horse and buggy, and we need to radically change government. And then for 8 years with divided legislatures, he did it. He changed a lot of stuff. Some of it was good, some of it was not good, according to libertarians. Mike Pence, if you compare the Republican governor Mike Pence, he had super majorities the majority of the time that he was governor. He didn't do anything. And they couldn't even pass with super majorities a gay marriage amendment. They were trying to push a gay marriage amendment in Mike Pence's first General Assembly. Governor didn't want it because he knew how it would be seen. And so they killed it. It got killed. So there needed to be a make good to the people that got him elected. Those Christian conservative groups, Advance America and Eric Miller.
The Duggar delegation.
Basically. What's the weird looking guy that's not married? That's the other one. Micah Clark. Indiana Family Institute. These groups that do a tremendous amount of fundraising. Kurt Smith is another one. You can Google these names if you're a Hoosier, because you should know who they are, because they're very powerful men.
And should Trump win, they're all going to be leading national organizations. You can remove the Indiana in front of it.
Yeah, and so these guys, they fundraise through their networks that they've built for local legislators, and these legislators are then owed a favor. And they are, they were ecstatic when, you know, Mitch Daniels used to say, let's not get into the weeds with the social issues. Let's stick to the economy. That's what matters. And when you're governor from 2004 to 2012, it was the economy. Mike Pence never took the same pledge to get away from social issues. And so these groups went crazy because one of their own, a guy that they had personally supported for years as a congressman, who had taken up the mantle as the Christian conservative leader,
but a real one with real access and relationships, yeah, in Washington D.C. that was on Sunday shows and not a Tea Party fringe,
right?
You know,
and
person.
So when he killed the gay marriage amendment, they were very disappointed, and you know, there was a make good, and it was called the restoration. It's called RFRA, our restoration of. RFRA,
Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
Now,
what it did is create a special class of protections for Christian store owners that did not want to sell to homosexual individuals in the name of free speech.
And so it protected the religious rights of business owners. So the governor didn't really want that to go through because he didn't want social issues.
He's
necessarily
not that dumb.
Right.
He knew where this was going, and he knew that the media was itching for a gay-hating controversy.
Right. And the House Speaker, Brian Bosma, who if Brian Bosma has, let's say Brian Bosma is not part of the Christian conservative movement. Anybody locally knows Brian Bosma's history and the rumors that swirl. He was going to run for governor, but there are receipts and all kinds of other things that would get out there. But he's a very powerful House Speaker. He's a very powerful individual in the state of Indiana.
He's a Frank Underwood character.
He is. And he created in the late 90s, early 2000s, a point system. So if you're a legislator and in they've for the most part controlled the legislature for the last 10 years, you collect a certain amount of points. You hold a fundraiser for another guy, then you get points. You do this, then you take this, then you get the points. Points, points, points. And that point system has kept him in control of the caucus. But the caucus got a little wild the last few years because they've got super majorities. And so Senator Long, the powerful Senate pro tem, and Brian Bosma couldn't control this RFRA thing. It went through. Pence had to sign it. Didn't want to because he knew what was coming. And I don't think they were prepared for the S storm that it turned out to be.
And to be fair, like in states like Mississippi and was it Georgia? It went through and there was no such media outrage. But all of a sudden, Indiana's was number three. And the national press was like, we've had enough.
Yeah.
And so then Mike Pence got pushed into a position where he had to start going on Meet the Press. And what was the other one? He went Face the Nation. And then with the one this week with George Stephanopoulos. And Mike Pence is great. If he's not the target,
right?
When he's the one doing rebuttals and defending, giving coverage for somebody else, and he can go on the offensive without the person that he's going up against being able to take shots at him, he's a killer.
Yeah,
it comes off well spoken, and it's his radio training. But all of a sudden, when Mike Pence walks into a situation where he's already at a disadvantage because he's the one that signed it, and he doesn't know exactly how to defend it or the appropriate way to. He struggles, and he doesn't come off nearly as well. He really came off as inarticulate and a bigoted homophobe because he just couldn't make the case that this gave it gave store owners that had specific religious beliefs an easier way of defending the right to refuse.
Right.
If he had done it that way, quite frankly, a whole lot of libertarians probably would have came down with him on the side of that. They wouldn't have loved that he did it for a specific class, but it did actually offer them more voluntary association.
Right.
But it also created a special class, and the optics of it were terrible.
Yeah.
And it only compounded when he was forced into the fray on the national stage, because that's when his support and his team in Iowa basically folded up shop and were worried about him even winning re-election here for governor.
And I will always wonder if Mike Pence, in the back of his mind, because Pence actually got some fire in his belly in 2016 and really started to get fired up about winning re-election. And, you know, I think he went through a lot of anytime somebody is a true believer and they think that the truth will just settle out, and it doesn't settle out, and then you're left, you go from a well-liked politician to a hated politician. I think personally that has to eat at you. That has to be on an individual level. Even if you don't like Mike Pence, you think he's the devil. Think about what that would be like as a human being if you're in his shoes.
Especially when it's not the case that he hates homosexuals.
Sure.
He doesn't.
So I think that kind of robbed his enthusiasm for the job. And he kind of got that back this year. And I will always wonder if he will struggle with the decision of what could have been. Could I have won re-election? Could I have beaten John Gregg? The guy that he ran against 4 years ago is running again. The libertarians have an equally as strong candidate who is more appealing to Republicans than Rupert was. And Republicans are very hot this year. So I will wonder if he could have won re-election, and I think he will too.
I think he's going to be vice president.
If he's not, then he'll be the head of some club for growth. He'll run for president in 4 years. He'll make some money. He'll appear on a bunch of TV shows. He'll keep his profile high, and he'll run for president. That's what he's always wanted to do. And I think there is part of this vice president thing that he knew, listen, I may go down in Indiana. I may lose and my career's over. If that happens...
Presidential dream's over.
Your presidential dream is over. And your internal polling, which I'm sure his internal... There's Fire Mike Pence signs all around this state. There are yard signs everywhere that say Fire Mike Pence. I've never seen... You're an Ohio resident. Is there Fire John Kasich signs in Ohio?
No, not that I've ever seen, but I have seen two Mike Pence signs today.
Yeah. I mean, so you're from Ohio. Do you know anything about Mike Pence?
No, I actually... And I don't want anyone to take this as, wow, she's an idiot. I'm not very educated on politics, just to be honest. But I was kind of surprised when I heard the name Mike Pence because my reaction was, who is that?
Right.
Because just from Ohio, it's just not someone that you hear a lot of. And I just, hearing all this, it makes more sense to me why he is chosen for the candidate. I just, as an outsider looking in and not being too hands-on with politics, just assumed Trump would pick someone more sparkly.
Yeah.
He had to make a decision, though. One, no one would... I mean, people didn't want to touch him.
Yeah.
Donald Trump didn't have a full slate to choose
right.
from.
Yeah.
And Chris Christie isn't someone you want because he's another strong person, bully personality. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't speak to the Christian right at all.
At all.
That would have been a disaster.
And like the Republican establishment has had a stronghold on the mm-hmm. party since, I mean, actually the existing public Republican establishment is the people that kicked out the old guard in 1980 when Ronald Reagan ran. Mm-hmm. They threw out the Rockefeller Republicans yeah. of the Northeast, and they rewrote everything, and that's what we're going through again.
Yeah.
What we're seeing is a total overthrow of who the establishment will be mm-hmm. in the Republican Party from here on forward, and it's every bit as painful because in 1980, it was who are these radicals, these small government radicals that won't be able to work with people, that want to, you know, crush government and don't see it as a institution of doing good mm-hmm. and they were scared crapless, and it ended up lasting to this day over yeah. you know what, 36 years. And so now we're going through that same transition where if Trump wins, the Ed Gillespies, the Steve Schmitz, I mean Rince Priebus, they're gone.
Yeah, the Bush regime is
Rumsfeld, all of them.
If Donald Trump destroys the Republican Party, if the Republican Party dies, I believe it is laid at the feet of George Bush. Both of them, the Bush family. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the Reagan revolution had come in and had come in strong, and despite the wishy-washy years of George H.W., the 94 class came in and Rush rose, and you had the...
That was the formal creation of the Christian establishment.
Yeah. And George Bush, as... You know, Bill Clinton, when he left office, controlled the Democratic Party through the Bush years. The Clintons made sure that their machine ran the place. The Center for American Progress was formed and became incredibly powerful. And all the White House folks in the Clinton years went on to work for Center for American Progress, the Ties Foundation.
Actually, Hillary's campaign manager, John Podesta, is the one who is the Center for American Progress. Yeah. He was the head.
And so they created these funding mechanisms to keep all their people engaged in politics and paid well. And they would fundraise for congressmen and senators and presidential candidates. And that's why it was so surprising when Obama upset that. And then you had two organizations that have fought over the last 8 years inside the Democratic Party. Now they've merged into Hillary's campaign to beat Trump. And in the Republican side, Bush didn't do that. Bush left. And so it left a vacuum of leadership within the Republican Party. And when you have a vacuum of leadership, you have all these warring factions that have fought for the last 8 years. And the Democrats, because they've been in charge in the White House, have steadily bludgeoned them. But in a vacuum, one powerful man will rise.
Mm-hmm. And it's the person that gives people what they want.
And Donald Trump has brought a new populist element and pushed the Bush people out. And the Bush people are not engaging. They're not showing up to the convention. They're not participating. They had their own shadow convention. We posted about it. If you want to join the We Are Libertarians Facebook group, go to wearelibertarians.com, and I posted an article about the shadow convention, and you could pretty much just Google the phrase, "I'm afraid I'll be the last Republican president," because that's what George Bush uttered in April when mm-hmm. there was a reunion in Texas amongst all the Bushies, and he said, I'm afraid I'm going to be the last Republican president. So to sum up Mike Pence, last night on the Lions of Liberty podcast, the guys were saying, well, I had hopes for Trump being non-interventionist. Tell us about his credentials. I said, Pence is a war hawk to the last and has been a war hawk from every perspective. And
he was the first person trotted out on every Sunday show to defend the war in Iraq.
Yep. And
every time. Because he does it well.
Yep. And he is also a guy who... he was instrumental in creating the Patriot Act. He mm-hmm. bragged about it on his congressional website for years that he helped create and shepherd through the Patriot Act. So the one thing that he did that kind of earned some credentials with libertarians that made them kind of swoon and think about joining the Republican Liberty Caucus to support Mike Pence was... when he was the leader of the rebellion against the bailouts, and he stood up to Bush in 2008 and said, we're not doing this. This is not the free market. We're not bailing everybody out. That is the one thing that kind of made a lot of local libertarians go, oh, maybe he is a libertarian.
Economically, he's as sound as you're going to get for fiscal conservatism.
Right. So,
but it's the social issues. And then, truth be told, though, I don't think he's a good fit for Trump because he is disciplined and won't talk out of turn because he was lucky to get it. Trump needed somebody he can get something out of and get him to shut up and just do that and not overwhelm Trump, which I don't know if it's possible, but not have a split like Newt where they have media access. Like Mike Trump has access to the people he was elected by, and he will get them to show up to support the Donald in Georgia, where it looked like it might be a little close between Trump and Hillary there, and in South Carolina, in rural Virginia, North Carolina, in rural Ohio, and then in Michigan and Wisconsin, in places where rural Republicans haven't showed up to vote forever. I mean, to see the kind of fight that Trump, what the election's going to look like is the fight that Paul Ryan's in. Paul Ryan is Speaker of the House, and he is in a neck and neck heat right now in Wisconsin. Hmm. And it's because he isn't the populist that the Blue Dog Democrat he's running against is, mm-hmm. who is more in line with Trump. And so there's going to be a big delegation of people who end up that are Republican or that are Democrats that vote for Donald Trump at the presidential level and then support the Democrat running against Paul Ryan. And they're white, blue collar, Christian conservatives. Mm-hmm. And that is that is the race that Donald Trump has to run. And it's the race of the white male.
Yeah, you're going to see Mike Pence go to the southern states, the Midwestern states, and he's a guy who is going to energize the base when he's in front of the base. You know, he's not going to appeal to somebody who's an independent fence sitter like our friend Jess here.
Which
he's,
is, to me, why it was the perfect choice, right. Because it's not that kind of election.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he is, in the way that Sarah Palin was a choice to stop the hemorrhaging with McCain, but Sarah Palin was a joke, and that just lost all those folks. Mike Pence is...
He won't have misspeaks and all the problems that popped up.
Oh, I've never read a book.
You know, that sort of thing.
I read them all. You read every magazine, literally.
Right.
Every magazine.
Yeah, and I don't think his children will end up pregnant out of wedlock.
Well, Saturday Night Live can't do a fantastic impression.
Going on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
The only thing that's popping up I see right now on the internet is Mike Pence's Kojak. And it's saying, make America feel again. You know, the Kojak feels, like, how do I hold all these feels? That's what's showing up because every, picture that is on 4chan of him is him looking like he's deeply feeling and thinking about something.
Yeah.
And then he already kind of looks like Kojak.
He has that look normally.
He has a Bond villain look.
Yeah, and so it's just make America feel again over and over and over.
That's
so
amazing.
Now that you've heard, Jess, all about Mike Pence, are you more or less likely to vote for the Trump team?
I would say less likely. I just am pretty firm on the fact that if I vote for anyone, it's not going to be Donald Trump.
Right.
There are no undecided Trump voters in America right now.
Yeah. No, there aren't.
Yeah.
No. I think that he brings a little bit of what Donald needs to be taken more seriously to the campaign, but doesn't sway me any.
Okay.
There isn't one. There are people who won't tell you they're going to vote for him. Because they're embarrassed. Mm-hmm. But there is no one in America that is right now saying, God, do I vote for Hillary or Donald?
Mm-hmm. No, they're all going, where's my escape hatch?
Yes.
Yep.
Or they might sit home.
There was a meme going around today where it's like the Lay's flavored chips, you know.
And pepperoni dog fart.
Pepperoni dog fart, Diet Mountain Dew
orange
flavored
juice
chips.
Toothpaste.
Right. Like that's a better choice than these two.
Or there's people like my father, who has always been diehard Democratic, and he refuses, he despises Hillary so much that he is very adamant about voting for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, okay.
I have a friend like that too. Yeah. He's like, I can't vote for Hillary.
Yeah. I mean, it really is the best case scenario for libertarians, but the worst case scenario for America.
Yes.
So,
you know, at the end of the day though, he's still a guy that, look what he offered John Kasich.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is going to be a messenger president.
Yeah.
He'll give you the political cover you need once someone else tells him what we need to pursue. Mm-hmm. He's not going to sit there and dictate policy, and he's never going to get down in the weeds.
Because I don't think he cares enough. Like, I don't mean that in a wrong way, but I just don't think he's that kind of person who's going to want to get down.
I think dirty. He only sees that we need to do three things, and three things only. And
build a wall.
Well, no, I mean, I do think he takes... So, like, if you look at the build a wall, like, the biggest discontent among blue-collar Democrats is that their wages don't ever go up. Yep. And they used to go up when the unions had bargaining power.
Yeah.
That's been stripped. And the reason why is the flood of new labor and then illegal labor at the bottom of the labor market.
Yeah.
And so they battle. They don't fight anymore with their companies to go to from $15 to $17 an hour. They get lucky if they get tossed 50 cents after working there for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no job security, no pension, nothing. And so that's where the populist upheaval that Donald Trump speaks to, that's where the immigration comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The immigration is about stopping the flood of business owners who lobby to keep borders open and to keep trade deals advantageous to where labor is cheap. It's to put an end to that.
Go ahead.
And so if that's where he's going to speak to the people like your father,
mm-hmm.
and then he uses nationalism, like, you know, America first, country uh-huh. first. We need
Make
to
America
stop being
again.
Yeah, we need to stop being ripped off. The point is that we, you know, the average American only makes $40,000 a year, and it's in a global market where
that's
the family, the average family household yeah. income with a children of two.
It's actually
or 43.
So I read a book. It was Hannah, can you, the Lore Life picture, can you like put that down so I can see the author's name? So there's a book called Free Lunch. There's another book that was about,
it says Lorelei.
Yeah, so just move that for me. His name is David K. Johnston. Great author, wrote a bunch of different books, and in that book he talked about how the difference between when my dad graduated and when I graduated, it was almost exactly the same. And when my dad graduated high school, a car cost $5,000, a house cost $60,000, and the average salary was around $37,000. When I graduated high school in 2002, your car cost $25,000, a house cost $150,000. But the average salary was down to $36,500. So we had lost $500.
Yeah.
So
thank you, inflation.
Yeah.
Thank you, the Federal Reserve. We'll teach you about ending the Fed next episode.
Okay.
So we'll teach you all about monetary manipulation.
And that's what people fail to understand about Trump is that, yes, the wall sounds so ridiculous on the face of it. And then you go to his website, like right now, if you were to go and click on his policies, there is a Harvard study. And that was the foundation for the reason of him testing this out in 2012 at CPAC, was he wanted to speak about immigration because it was an issue no one wanted to touch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Republicans knew that, or believed, they thought they had to have Hispanics. That was the next group of the GOP that would keep them in power. And if they talk about illegal immigration, they're done. And what they're coming to find out is that the people that vote on election day are like your dad. It isn't millennials. It isn't young people. It isn't Hispanics. It isn't African Americans. It is women and men, predominantly white.
Mm-hmm.
And so Donald Trump knows that he can actually bring, and that's why he won the primary. He won the primary with 30% first-time registrants for the Republican Party. And it wasn't just Democrats flipping over. It was only about 7 to 8% of that. It was first-time people registering, and it was like a Duck Dynasty caucus.
Yeah.
You know, that's who it's the Walmart voter that is tired of, you know, scraping by with food stamps,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of the working poor. And that's what people really just have missed. The polling doesn't catch these people. The polling doesn't catch, you know, in Michigan, for instance, Hillary had a 20-point lead going into the primary, and Bernie beat her. The reason why is this is not your usual election. It's a first-time delegation of people who love Duck Dynasty, and Phil Robertson speaks to them, and that's why Phil Robertson was speaking at the Republican convention.
Lily. See, I look at it, and I think that Roger Stone, I think, is more influential than anybody probably realizes. So,
was.
I think still is.
You still think?
I think that he and Donald probably still chat on the phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They can't have Roger Stone in a meeting because talk about a guy that's hated by 50% and loved by 50%.
Yeah. So Roger is a guy that taught, if you've ever seen the movie about, who was the guy, the Willie Horton ad guy?
Oh, you're talking about Lee Atwater.
Lee Atwater, who taught, you know, Roger taught everything Lee knew, who taught Karl Rove, thing he knew. Original Dirty Tricks guy for Nixon, so you can imagine. Original Dirty Campaigner. Here's a guy who knows and has forgotten more about politics than anybody will ever remember, than I will ever remember. Roger Stone worked on Gary Johnson's campaign in 2012. He left the Republican Party in 2011, became a libertarian, traveled the country going to tea parties and libertarian meetings, and really taking the pulse of this disaffected outside group of people who might be Republicans if people were talking about the right things. And so I think my conspiracy theory is that when Donald called up Roger and said, I'm thinking about doing this, what should I talk about? I think that Roger was instrumental in saying, here's what I'm seeing, here's the messages, here's the untapped market that you can hit. And the tech space talks a lot about this, and we've talked about this on the show, that as artificial intelligence increases, as technology increases, it's going to be tougher and tougher to keep the lower economic, the lower skilled workers in our society employed. You really have to be a skilled employee, and there's this transitional generation in the baby boomers and the Gen Xers who are low-skilled workers who the manufacturing jobs are shedding, and we're moving into the information economy. And so
it's a service economy.
Yeah, and so you've got predictions out there that say we could have up to 50% unemployment in 25 years as AI comes in and starts making it, you know, manufacturing jobs. It's a robot's not dangerous. They're not going to lose an arm. So you have...
It doesn't need an eight-hour workday and mandatory breaks and...
Right.
My favorite author...
401ks.
Right. My favorite author is Rick Bragg, and he wrote a book called The Most They Ever Had, and it's about Jackson, Mississippi, and the textile mills in that entire area, and how that... And he tells the story of the people of Jackson, Mississippi, and how their lives have been obliterated by the transition out of the textile... Moving those textile mills... We talk a lot about that with the drug war, how we're warehousing that bottom 15% because we have nothing for them to do.
Nope.
So let's make money off of them by just busting them from drugs, putting them in prison.
And we've made hiring people so expensive with so many burdens, you know, regulations and taxes on employers that they're, you know, it isn't like they're out $9 an hour. They're out $18 with the possibility of up to probably $25 or $26 an hour.
Yeah.
And so when that's the case, automation's the inevitable move. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can talk about it or whatever, but, you know, I mean, right now, ideally, as a libertarian, yes, like I want the free flow of trade to be as open as possible because it brings the greatest amount of peace to everybody as a whole, and it stops war, keeps people economically integrated, and it allows everyone access to, like, the goods and services that do, like, you know, we make high labor is expensive, so we have to focus on things that have high profit margins in order to employ people. Mm-hmm. We can't get away with doing, you know, textile mills here because you'd only be able to employ so few people. You'd probably violate some Department of Labor rule.
We happen to have two ladies who work in the HR industry. Why don't you talk about our labor force and the job markets that are out there?
Well, in our industry we work in pharmaceuticals. It's pretty booming all the time.
But we also work in the sales side versus the manufacturing side.
Right.
We have worked or have had some, well, I can't articulate. We have had clients that have been in the manufacturing industry, and they have.
Correct.
We have, it just because like they've gone through layoffs because gas is so expensive or because this is so expensive or because that, and they've had to downsize. And as a result, like, they're just not hiring anybody. They put hiring freezes on all the time. In pharmaceuticals, like, what we do is completely different from that. It doesn't, not really affected by that. Granted, like, in 08, when there were all the layoffs just because the economy crashed, there was a lot of different things there. But pharma is booming.
Yeah.
Manufacturing, not.
No.
Yeah. Because you guys just are all drug pushers.
Yeah,
exactly.
Legal
yeah.
ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Legal ones, though, yeah.
You got any stuff on you?
No.
You got anything good?
They don't give us the samples.
We don't get the samples.
Do you have any Ks? You got any Klonopins? You got any Valiums? Come on. Help
no,
brother out. Uncle,
not today. I'm
Uncle
sorry.
Chris.
Are you demonizing the pharmaceutical sales
right?
industry?
Seriously.
Uncle Chris needs some help.
Are you one of those big pharma haters?
You do need some help.
I do. No.
Are you one of those big pharma haters?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
Anybody who works in the pharmaceutical industry is terrible and awful.
Go screw yourself.
Really?
I'm just kidding, because I'm wrestling them and you know who. So
she doesn't work in that.
Oh, okay. I don't know what she does exactly, but I thought it was drugs.
Yeah,
so.
Speaking of mm-hmm. her.
Her?
Mm-hmm.
What about her?
I just need to know about her.
Need to know about who?
His girlfriend, Lindsay.
Lindsay?
Yes.
Yeah, no, she's a, she works, she used to work in pharmaceutical sales.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, like, I've never been a pharmaceutical sales hater, but they get nothing but hate. And if you think about it, they create drugs so people can have better, like, lifestyles mm-hmm. and better, you know, longer lifespans.
No, I'm joking. Like,
oh, I know, but I mean, most people, there's a lot of libertarians that hate big pharma.
Oh, and, yeah.
But they never blame, you know, it's the government that creates all these, that allows for, like, Medicare not getting to price it a certain way. Or, you know, Medicaid having to pay premium rates. You know, they lobby and create all these, you know, it's protectionism.
No, I definitely think that there's overprescription. I think, you know, I was going through a particularly troublesome time and I just wanted a break. And I just said, what can you do for me? Never went and saw the doctor and he prescribed Klonopin, which is an incredibly powerful, addictive drug that changes your brain forever. There wasn't a consultation. It was just, I didn't even talk to him directly. It was just his office, you know? And so, and there was never any like, hey, by the way, here's how you don't, you know, I'm obviously I'm lucky. I'm not addicted to it. I'm fine. Hey, you got any case? I'm good. But it is an industry that we have overprescribed. It's why we have a lot of the problems with opiate addictions and the pill mills and all that kind of stuff. But pharmaceuticals do great things for people, including me. I have been less crazy for 15 years because of pharmaceuticals.
And many of the sales reps are actually really passionate about helping people
That's
have
right.
a different,
oh,
a
yeah.
better lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like very passionate, very involved in their communities, very yeah, just very passionate about it. It's not about, oh, hey, let's just push. There are those out there, but for the most part, they aren't that way.
And a lot of our clients are small pharma, biotech companies,
mm-hmm.
And a little bit more interesting industries rather than just, you know, an AZ pushing, you know, one of their drugs.
So what you're saying is you got some experimental stuff in your car.
Ah, no.
Excellent. I knew we were going to be good friends. Okay, so we want to give you the chance to talk about Chris Christie.
Oh, no, I wanted to hear what you guys thought. Like, I don't have anything super intelligent to add to the Chris Christie
I'm sure
conversation.
You're very... All right, well, Chris Christie, to me, is just... He's very handsome. He's a sexy man. And if you think Chris Christie's sexy, then you are an angel of a woman.
He would probably get stuck in the bathtub like is it Garfield I got?
No. It was the one from Ohio.
Grover?
No, it wasn't Grover Cleveland. It was Taft.
William Taft.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Kasich is getting a lot of flack for not going to the convention in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. What is Kasich like as a governor?
I don't have a great answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do know is I do respect that he was very against Trump during all the debates, and he's still sticking to that.
Yeah.
Like, unlike Carson and things like that, people who just demonized Trump, and now they want to be besties with him.
Yeah.
So
Mike Pence.
I like that about Kasich. I'll say that.
Yeah.
the best thing he's got going for him is he doesn't like the Republican candidate.
Exactly. That's from my perspective, yes. Again,
which is...
The people that may be laughing at me right now, politics is not like my go-to.
So that is perfect because earlier this week, Jill Stein commented when Bernie endorsed Hillary, said the best thing he could say about her was that she wasn't Donald Trump, which is probably the most common thing people say about Hillary Clinton.
That honest to God, like somebody posted that on their Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, make an argument for your candidate that isn't, well, they're not the other candidate. Mm-hmm. Like, if you post, you know, make an argument for Trump that doesn't involve, well, she's not Hillary, he's not Hillary,
yeah.
and vice versa. A lot of people can't do that. So, final thoughts on the vice presidential picks. Hannah Drozich, Cook.
Bleh.
Don't forget it. Well, I'm glad that Mike Pence is no longer in Indiana. I think we're better off for that.
Yeah, the virus has gone national. That's so much better.
Meh.
At least he has a chance to lose, right?
Yeah, but he's got Donald Trump who's going to overpower him on every single thing. So I'm not that worried about it. But yeah,
That's better.
I still just get the impression that he kind of weaseled his way into that, because when it even first came up, I was like, he's considering Mike Pence. Why? So, you know, and I get the reasoning behind him. He's a really great soundbite person. And I get all of that, but it still just struck me as very odd. Something just doesn't jive right with that. It's just my thoughts. But mostly I'm just glad he's gone from Indiana.
Okay.
Primarily it.
Jess, we'll go to you.
Thank God it's not Sarah Palin.
Atta girl. Greg?
No, I'll just add, I see the appeal, or I see why he's a good fit. I mean, it doesn't mean I think that I want Mike Pence to be a one bullet away from being president of the United States by any means. You know, it's just my objective two cents on it.
He's very incompetent. So.
Yeah, and he's not
we all know that.
Yeah, he's no technocrat by any means.
Right.
But I was talking with Lindsay about it, and she was mentioning when she was, let's see, this would have been 2008. Or was it? No, wait, Pence won in 2012. Mm-hmm. She was just having dinner with a friend at Panera down in Evansville, and he was doing his, you know, dog and pony tour, and comes up to her and her friend and is like, so are you guys, you know, how are you guys going to vote in this election? And trying to make like awkward conversation.
So awkward.
Yeah, not realizing like she had worked for Barack Obama and then like considered him the Antichrist. And like when they're just not biting at all, he just makes the awkward. He goes, well, you guys probably just aren't even old enough to vote. And I think she was like 24, or she'd have been, 24.
Right.
And just, that's what he does to anyone that's not one of his people. He completely alienates.
Yes.
To the point they're not ambivalent. They hate him.
That's crazy. Yeah.
On every level.
I know someone who had worked on his congressional campaigns, was a Republican, had, a personal friendship with him on some level. And then, Mike found out he was gay and asked him to leave the bus, you know, and found out that he was a libertarian-leaning gay Republican, and he was no longer part of the crowd. So, yeah, I think he just loves loyalty. He loves it.
So, interesting story. I once tried to interview for a position on his gubernatorial campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that I was not going to be hired because in the primaries, I had tweeted something anti-Mike Pence because I was helping his,
his competitor.
Primary opponent. I was helping his primary opponent, and I had tweeted something negative Mike Pence, so therefore the Pence campaign would not hire me. And I was like, that is politics. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. there's just a lot of stories like that where it's, the landscape is littered with people who didn't buy into the vision 100%, and they were just, you know, when it's not totally uncommon for an administration to completely switch out everybody when they transition, but there were very few Mitch Daniels people kept when they transitioned to a new Republican administration. Okay. Anything else that you want to touch on, Greg, news-wise?
What else happened this week?
There's Turkey.
Turkey, not enough to say.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. Hillary Clinton has been a ghost this week.
It's going to be that way the entire time. It's going to be the Donald Trump election. It's going to be primetime Donald Trump. Everybody knows Hillary Clinton. Everybody's fascinated with Trump. He gets the ratings. You know, whenever anything happens on Bob and Tom, the nationally syndicated radio show that I work for, the local press, like, there's a local alternative weekly that still tweets out the retirement story from Bob from 6 months ago because it still gets them a ton of traffic. Anytime anything changes, all the TV stations and the local paper make it a push notification. Like, it's because it's drama and it's good for their ratings, and so therefore we are news. Donald Trump is good for page views. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to be primetime. Hillary Clinton doesn't draw. And so I think the debates are going to be interesting. If Gary Johnson can get in, then I think it's a problem for both of them because he draws, according to the CNN poll, Gary Johnson's drawing more from Clinton than he is Trump.
Well, that's more of a natural fit anyway.
Yeah, because Gary tends to gravitate more towards the social issues, where Weld, I think, is more of the Republican puller.
If Weld can somehow get the 10% of Republican elites that are just totally never Trump,
yep,
he will have overachieved by every standard possible.
One of the reasons that my grandma is considering voting for Gary Johnson is because Jeb Bush is considering voting for Gary Johnson. So Romney and Jeb, they can have a tremendous amount of power, and so all these libertarians are freaking out over the fact that that's happening. It's like, get over yourselves. This is about winning elections, and if you want to be politically pure, then don't get involved in politics, you dummy.
Join the Free State Project.
So, yeah, Roger.
In their primaries, it was Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Quote, unquote, Free State.
So
I worked in New Hampshire politics. It's not a free state.
So I think that Hillary will fare better in the debates, because when you see Hillary in the debates, like when you watched her against Bernie Sanders was a one-trick pony. He was a one-note horse. Hillary Clinton seems like a grown-up, and that will really contrast poorly for Donald Trump, who is not a grown-up. But speaking of grown-up things, it's time every once in a while. This is a childish podcast. Cornelius is trying to go outside. That's what that, if you heard that. Yeah, if I'm sitting...
He doesn't like being held in captivity.
Yeah, if I'm sitting on the back porch, she will sit there and she'll just go, bah, 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 and like paw at the back door wanting to come out, because she loves me. But,
somebody does.
You know, we are...
That's what I say to the girl in my basement every day. She just can't stop clawing to get out because she's locked down there and wants to be up here with me.
Aww. Super creepy. Sounds like true love.
Put the lotion on its skin.
Jess.
Yeah.
These are two of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah just said, at least somebody loves you.
Okay.
And then Greg just lied and said that I have a woman in a pit.
No, I mean,
no,
I said
he
me.
Has someone.
Not you.
Oh, okay.
We all know Chris has a, somebody.
This is a luxury apartment, but it doesn't have a basement.
I'm gonna need to talk to you alone on the back porch afterwards. But that's besides the point.
I'm a little too hungry, so I'm gonna be leaving.
Yeah, we're pretty hungry.
Why didn't you guys tell me? I would have made some hot dogs for you.
You had already cooked when we got here, and it smelled delicious.
Listen, I have chicken ready to go, all right?
We want
You get
alcohol.
A hot dog, you can have chicken. she said somebody loves me. You're saying nobody
Did
loves
you
me.
Did you say somebody loves
no,
you?
You no, you said somebody loves him.
Nobody loves me.
I said at least somebody loves
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's hurtful.
That's not nobody.
That's hurtful.
That's one buddy.
A cat.
It's a soul.
Who are notoriously hard to earn the affection of.
That's see, true. Yeah, amen.
Justin on Facebook Live says, wait, you keep Hannah in the basement? Yes.
No. Negative.
Greg, we've had too much adult talk.
Time for some childish humor.
We need
sophomoric,
to,
if you will.
We need to go back in time and just, you know, this is a very stressful podcast. Thank you, Christy Avery. She says everybody loves Chris. So.
Aww.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Everybody loves Spangle Bear.
Almost everybody. Especially,
I have my moment.
Especially when some recent podcasts get released. Almost everybody.
Oh boy.
Now, Greg, you've got a story time for us. So.
Yes, my birthday was or is this upcoming Saturday, but had celebrated it with the girl you referenced, my girlfriend Lindsay, right. And she had gotten me the Jimmy Fallon book, Winners Aren't Losers. It was a spoof that Jimmy Fallon had made in talking with Trump, and then a guy decided to start a blog and start selling these.
That is great.
And so I got it, and I must say, like, it exceeds every expectation.
Now, do you want me to read it, or are you going to read
I'll
it?
I'll read it. I'll go ahead and read it.
All right. Read it like I'm your child.
All right.
Read it to
me. Do you want to read it? Because I feel like it's the first time you're going to read it.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me read it. No. I'm more paternalistic. Okay.
Let me get a picture of you reading it.
All right. To my favorite winner with an autograph. All right. So here, let me get rid of this. So this is called Winners Aren't Losers. Narration by Chris Spangle. Winners aren't losers. They're winners, like me. A loser's a loser. Which one will you be? Winners do deals and winners get rich, while sad little losers just sit there and bitch. The dog is a loser, and frankly, I pity it. The dog did bad deals. This dog is an idiot.
Poor dog.
And poor Mr. Bear, he must feel like a loser, valeting that 2006 PT Cruiser. This lobster's a loser. Throw him a pot in the pot. I like a lobster who doesn't get caught. These losers are failures when nothing gets done. Just do what I do and you'll be number one. Now here are some frogs I do not like at all. We must kick these frogs out and then build a wall. Oh, the places you'll go. On your yacht, on your plane, with your suits from Milan and your wives from Ukraine. Oh, the buildings you'll build, oh, the wealth you'll amass. Oh, the people around you, all kissing your ass. There are two kinds of people. One, which one will you be? A loser like them, or a winner like me? Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Well done. Well done.
Show the animation here. So, Hannah, just flip through that for the people there. That is a beautiful book. That is inspiring.
Isn't it excellent?
Just to show the camera, move it over to here, please. A little bit over. Give it to Greg. You're incompetent. trying to Vanna White you. Trying to help you.
I love the back.
It really is funny.
It's a great animation. Yeah. It's the best book. Now, people say he writes the best children's books, and I'm afraid he actually does. Yeah, I guess.
It's my second favorite book next to the one that we're giving
to the Bible.
We're awarding to Jess. We're giving Jess a copy. Hand that to Greg.
I can't wait to hear your comments on this.
Yeah, so we're giving you our favorite work of fiction here on We Are Libertarians. It is Spanking City Hall by Melissa Donaghy.
Self-published.
So
Amazon Kindle approved.
Oh, and it's like $5 on Amazon at the most.
And
or
I will
three or something.
I will say that Stinky Shorts by Rex Bell, you can get it at stinkyshorts.com, outsold Spanking City Hall by quite a lot. So you enjoy that. We should give you a copy of Stinky Shorts too, but I don't have an extra one.
This is fine.
Okay. All right.
Enjoy.
I'm dying to hear what you have to say about
it. Now,
people are saying it's the worst fiction book since The Da Vinci Code.
But supposedly, it's true.
Now, do you have children?
No.
No, okay. So
I live alone, so.
Well, don't say that on the air. That's.
No one knows where I live.
Oh, that's true. I don't even know where you live.
Yep.
Why'd you say it like keep it that way?
Because I'm afraid of everything in life, so I like to keep it
that way. Oh, we're going to be
life
good
is
friends.
A CSI episode to me.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I have spilled water on my $2,000 laptop.
Perfect.
So
wait,
that's enough of this. So, Greg, anything else that we should talk about? You know what's going on.
No, all I would say is I cannot wait for the Donald's final night to close the convention and his speech. It's going to be quite wonderful. Chris is doing his Rorschach test right now.
What do you see when you see this?
I don't know. A leaf on fire?
A leaf on fire. What do you see, Jess?
A feather.
All right. What do you see, Greg?
I've already answered this question. I know what it was originally intended as.
What is it?
All right. What do you see when you see this?
boobs and a penis.
No. That's an elephant spitting water out of its trunk. So.
I was going to say eyes and a nose.
You two are perverts. So
well, what's the feather supposed to be?
You ever been to Arby's?
No, I mean,
I still don't know.
I'm missing something huge.
Remember what you thought that was?
Yeah.
That's a recreation of a vagina.
This is just all 747 right now. Like, I have no idea. All right,
that's.
It was a bad recreation.
Was that a 9/11 joke?
That's offensive.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean like that. It's not like an airplane like going over
my
head.
These guys have 32, zero boundaries.
3,200 people died, Jess.
I know. Rest in peace. Stop it.
We invite you on and you ruin the podcast.
Sorry, guys.
That's all right. You're forgiven.
Well, next week, I look forward to Donald Trump trying to steal all of Hillary Clinton's thunder and the Democrats' thunder, because wait till
Oh, my God.
Every day, he will do something so out of bounds.
That'd be great.
They won't be able to talk about the convention. They will cut away from the convention to cover what Donald Trump did.
You're so right.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be so funny.
It'll be the first time ever there's no coverage of the Democratic convention, because Donald Trump is like marching with an AK-47 at the Texas border.
Please, I really hope he does that.
He might put a Mexican in a cannon and fire him back into Mexico.
A Mexican midget.
Yes. He will pay. He'll pay him. He'll be well compensated. Many, many dineros.
Listen here, Paco.
Or pesos.
Excellent job.
Yeah. It will be beyond amazing. In his speech, I just can't wait. It is going to be the greatest entertainment you will witness. It'll be better than, like,
this is my canon. No canon. I have a view. I have a huge canon.
Can you imagine if he gives a camera to the Mexican stuffed in the canon, and the last thing he sees is Trump going, looking down a barrel, kaboom, flying over the Rio Grande.
Oh, the racist.
Raining Mexicans.
But see, there's nothing that we can conceive of that, like, you can't predict what he'll do. There's nothing, like,
he made fun of a handicapped guy on a live on a rally, and Hillary's using it in a campaign commercial, and he laughs about it.
Right.
I mean, what are you going to do that's going to offend him?
Per his Twitter account today, he was pumped about all the press Melania's speech got.
Yeah.
The other night. Like, he was excited.
It was planned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really voting for the AK-47 on the border. I really am going to be
standing with the Oath Keepers.
I'm going to be so disappointed if that doesn't happen.
Jess, as you can see, I have a Make America Great Again hat. Mm-hmm. If he wins, I'm going full Trump.
Okay.
I have to. I've got to give in. I can't take it. I'm not going to fight the guy.
Where's your tinfoil cap?
Fedora.
I don't have a tinfoil fedora, but you're allowed to make me one. I've got... Crazy Larry's bag hat up there.
Do you have a framed picture of your cat as a kitten?
Yes, I do. I took that out of spite when I got divorced. Thanks for bringing up painful memories, Jess.
It's my thing, no problem.
He also has a cat with a Hitler mustache.
That's a present from Greg.
Hail Mittler.
So, Greg got me that in honor of our first live show. So
this is honestly the most random apartment I've ever been in. So I've been appreciating, like, the aesthetics.
There's a lot to look at.
The copy of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence.
I just, since we're doing it on Facebook Live, I want there to be, you know, I want it to be decorated. This is my wall of trophies. Mm-hmm. So my David Letterman autograph, all the awards, the many awards I've won.
I love that you have a Kanye West quote frame.
I knew you would love that.
Yeah.
Are you a Kanye girl?
I'm a Kanye fan in the sense of I don't like him as a human, but I really like his music.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you.
He speaks to you. You can.
He's my guilty pleasure. He just sounds good. I can get down with it.
He's my spirit animal.
Is he really?
Yes. Yeah. I'm a huge fan.
So. I mean, Taylor Swift.
On that note,
yeah. I think
fuck Taylor Swift.
No, I know. I think it's funny.
Yeah. You might have found Hannah, my third ex-wife. I'm liking Jess a lot. So
how did you know our shared appreciation and quasi-hatred of Kanye West?
Right.
You'd imagine how rare that is.
I've only been divorced once. I've still got one to go before I get to you, but
okay,
you're on the list. All right, kids. Thanks for joining us here on We Are Libertarians. We didn't do the round. So at the end of every episode, we give you a chance to self-promote or talk about anything that you didn't get to talk about. It's open. You get to say whatever you want. Hannah's a veteran, so you get to say whatever you want first. So go for it.
Well, I really hope it's a really long time before I come back again.
Me too.
God!
I think we all want that.
I agree.
But the next time Jess is in town, I guess we'll have you back.
Also, I really am actually kind of excited for the Trump-Hillary debate.
It's going to be fantastic.
I feel like it'll be really entertaining. Yeah. And I vote for some sort of drinking game.
Who are you voting for?
Gary Johnson.
Really?
Girlfriend. You didn't know that?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we got another scumbag Republican.
I mean, I'll probably be voting for every other Republican on the ticket. But
sure.
But
we got you on one.
Do it.
Are you going to look into Gary Johnson now that you've been here?
I will look into Gary Johnson, yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Greg, final thoughts?
No, I think it was good. I think we covered the convention to the point we can, and people have a better understanding of Mike Pence. But I look forward to next week. Seeing what the Donald hath done and seeing if he's successfully able to keep Hillary Clinton on page 6 at her own convention.
Jess?
No, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Is it everything that you thought a
it
podcast
really
would be?
It really was fun. I enjoyed it. I thought I'd be nervous to talk, but it really doesn't feel that way. So
yeah, you've actually done really well. Like,
well, thanks.
A lot of people come in their first time and they'll want to sit in or they're whatever, yeah. And they're really nervous. especially women for some reason. I don't know why that is. Like, women are less confident in a podcast setting than
I never had a problem.
Yeah, like the first time Chloe sat in, she was super nervous. Now she's like, "What's up, nerds?" So I love yeah. Chloe.
No, it was very fun.
So
thank you.
So does it make you more or less likely to listen to podcasts?
More.
Yeah, we have a very quasi professional setup here. You know, we've got a board. I have a big board. We've got racks of processors. You know, other podcasts like Rob Kendall. You know, Rob has a very small board, right?
So I mean, by comparison.
I mean, Rob has a very small board.
Yeah, I mean, Lion Rob is Lion Rob, so.
Kendall's watching on the live stream.
Is he?
So yeah.
Good.
Hi. Moving on.
Well, let's see. We'll record next week, and can't wait to talk some more Trump and Hillary. And God, I can't wait. I mean, you know, last night they were chanting "Lock her up" at the Republican convention.
Well, one of his main advisors did threaten that we should put a bullet in her head for treason.
Lock her up at a convention.
Dang.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on We Are Libertarians. Please visit WeAreLibertarians.com. All kinds of great new prizes and things there. The premium service that we have been talking about will be coming next week. I have the week off, so we'll be working on that. Just taking a lot more time to get that together than I realized. So thank you all. Please check out Lions of Liberty. Please check out the Johnny Rocket Launchpad. Please check out the Lava Flow podcast and our friends in the libertarian podcast community. Support everybody. And support We Are Libertarians. Go to WeAreLibertarians.com. Click donate. Donate monthly. We'll transfer that over once we get we'll give you prizes once you donate. And thank you. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Jess for being here. Thanks to Hannah for bringing her. Thanks to Greg for always being here. We love you, listeners. Please share this episode so everybody knows how awful Mike Pence is. And we will see you next time here on We Are Libertarians. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Hey, guys. It's me. That's right. I'm back. It's Chris Spangle. You know, you just heard me talking in the middle of this show, and then I said, let's take a break and hear more of me. I'm sure that's what I said, because that's what I would say if I were doing the podcast and listening to this again. But I'm here to tell you what we do with your money when you donate it to us by giving us $5 a month through PayPal, Patreon. You can go to Patreon, and if we don't do a show, we don't get paid, so it gives us incentive to get paid. What's more libertarian than that? What we do with that money is we apply it to advertising and equipment. We do things to grow the podcast so more people can hear our voice. I want you to think about it. You like We Are Libertarians. I know it's your favorite podcast. You know it's your favorite podcast. Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.